Hello, everyone, and welcome to an all-new episode of Insurance Uncovered. The podcast is produced by the National Association of Mutual Insurance Companies and is your source for insurance news and perspective from thought leaders in the property casualty insurance industry. I'm your host, Justin Hakes. Today, we're uncovering insurance innovation, how companies can translate ideas into real impact. Plus, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac hit pause on replacement value requirements for home insurance. NAMIC and other industry groups applauded a decision by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to indefinitely pause implementing changes that would have drastically increased costs for millions. In February, the government-sponsored enterprises updated their selling guidance to require full replacement cost insurance coverage for any property with a federally backed mortgage. It also would have created new burdens for insurers by mandating that companies create a new system to verify coverage annually. All these changes were slated to take effect by June 1st. NAMIC made clear to the GSEs and the Federal Housing Finance Agency that addressing changes in the economy and growing risk factors is not as simple as trying to force every homeowner to purchase significantly more expensive coverage. NAMIC Senior Vice President of Federal and Political Affairs, Jimmy Grandy, details the changes would have led to higher costs and less insurance availability for homeowners.
The GSEs made the right call in taking a step back to consider the negative consequences from their decision. It may have sounded like a simple fix, but requiring full replacement coverage and an annual verification would come at a higher cost and may not always be the best choice for homeowners. Addressing changes in the economy, growing risks due to a variety of factors, and overcoming the barriers to home ownership are not so simple as trying to force every homeowner to just buy more and more expensive coverage. We all have the same goal, reducing the number of uninsured properties. Bringing additional voices into that conversation can only help produce a more practical and effective solution.
With enactment paused, NAMIC will continue to engage with the FHFA and the GSEs and work with lawmakers on Capitol Hill to provide a much-needed perspective and education on insurance issues and how these types of changes are harmful to consumers. A new study finds that nuclear verdicts of at least $10 million reached a 15-year high in 2023, while 27 verdicts were thermonuclear, or more than $100 million. Marathon Strategies reports that plaintiffs' lawyers are poised to win even more nuclear verdicts in 2024. Following a landmark $1.8 billion antitrust verdict against the National Association of Realtors and two brokerage firms, real estate commission cases are being filed at an alarming rate. According to another new report by AM Best, loss severity for several U.S. casualty lines of insurance business has exceeded economic inflation over the past decade. This suggests that other factors are influencing claims costs for indemnity and expense payments. Best's report goes on to say that third-party litigation funding is contributing to worsening loss ratios for excess liability, commercial auto, and general liability, leading to higher premiums for consumers. The insurance industry plays a vital role in our financial security and societal progress. Yet, translating innovative ideas into real impact can be a challenge. On today's Unscripted, NAMIC CEO Neil Aldridge talks with MIT professor Phil Budden about the critical link between innovation and the well-being of insurance companies and those they serve.
Today on Unscripted, we're joined by MIT professor Phil Budden. Phil is a senior lecturer at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He focuses on insurance issues, particularly in innovation, a topic that is all around the industry at the moment. And Phil is actually going to join us at our management conference coming up here in late June. It's actually in Boston. And so we are glad to have Phil on the podcast today. He's going to talk a little bit about some of the topics he's going to discuss at the management conference and also other things that just happened to be on our mind this morning. So, Phil, thanks for joining me today.
Neil, thank you for that wonderful introduction, and I'm delighted to be with you and looking forward to the NAMIC conference in Boston.
Great. So why don't we talk a little bit about just you? Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about your background? You're obviously from your accent, not from around here, as they say. So why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your background and your interest in insurance in particular and innovation as well?
Certainly, Neil. Well, first of all, as you've worked out, I am indeed British. I was training as a historian, but then became a British diplomat. I then spent time in corporate banking, and now I'm at the on the faculty of MIT's Management School, very interested in innovation, and especially as it applies to the insurance sector. And so I try to bring all those different aspects of me to understand what is going on in the world, how technology is changing things, what this innovation thing really is. And I get pretty passionate about helping those in the insurance sector think through, you know, what is the innovation that is needed? How do they authentically do it? And how do you avoid all the smokes and mirrors and innovation theater to actually do innovation that matters?
Yeah, that's, I think, the trick. The industry, this topic has been, you know, on the minds and part of discussions for several years now. And there had been a bit of an evolution, I think, in terms of how many in the industry have thought about innovation. And so why don't we just talk about, you know, as you look at the insurance industry, you know, what do you see as opportunities or any barriers as far as, you know, as companies begin to explore new things?
Definitely. And it's been fascinating. I've been working on innovation for about 20 years now, and it's been sort of arriving in different sectors at different times. And it definitely feels like this is the moment for insurance innovation. One of the challenges with innovation is it's such a buzzword that people sometimes fail to understand what it really is. So one of the things I'll cover at the conference in June in greater detail is innovation is way more than particular technologies. And there's lots of buzzy technologies out there. People excited by generative AI this year. Last year it was crypto, and before that was metaverse. And so one of the challenges for leaders of organizations when they're trying to innovate is to look past the shiny technologies that startups and vendors are trying to sell to you and think through what is the innovation that really matters to our organization in the sector that we're in. So for insurance, you're regulated. And so that is a major factor that some of the banks and the fintechs didn't have to worry about, and the music and movie industries didn't have to. So it's not a surprise that innovation is only arriving with insurance now. But there are opportunities for insurance companies, and particularly for mutuals, which can take a slightly longer term perspective about things. And that's one of my key messages for insurance innovation is it's not too late to start innovating, but you need to do so in a thoughtful and strategic way, learn from what's happened to others, and then do so in a way that actually delivers for your business and for your mutual policyholders.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been around long enough to have seen the cusp of some of this discussion early on when there were, you know, Googles and lots of other large entities were going to get in the insurance business, right? And they quickly figured out two things. What do you mean there's this regulation thing and we have to like get approval for our products and our prices, and how does that work? And also they figure out pretty quickly that insurance is hard. You know, it's, you know, you have to pay claims, and you have, I mean, there's, you know, there's a lot of complexity to this business that is at the heart of this. And so we've seen, I think, this evolution from insurance is probably not going to be disrupted in the way some of like the taxi cab industry, right? It's not going to be that, but it's more become a situation where these technology firms have become more partners of the industry. They serve a purpose in the value chain, right? They have a piece of technology that makes the claim settlement process easier or whatever the case might be. I'm just wondering if you're seeing the same things in terms of how that has evolved from disruptor to more like partner.
Definitely. You know, at the start of this century, there was a lot of brave talk from the Silicon Valley big tech companies, how they were going to move fast and break things. And it turns out that in insurance, it is regulated for a reason, because it's a really important sector that you're working in, and it's really complicated. So the move fast and break things like the law doesn't work outside of Silicon Valley. And I think you're right. It's interesting. Some of the startups in insurance, known as InsurTechs, started off a bit like their fintech banking bros, talking about, you know, a big game about disruption. But that's not the way it's playing in the sector. And I think you're right. It is InsurTechs coming up with small technology solutions that actually the large insurance companies can innovate, because they're the ones who have the end-to-end view. They have the incumbent relationships. They have the trust that has been earned over years. And so in this sector in particular, it's not about disruption. It really is about partnership. And the InsurTechs that I work with really do understand that the way that they add value to the sector is working with large insurance carriers and adding value to their end-to-end system.
Yeah, how would, so that's spend a minute on regulation, because this is an interesting topic. You know, it is really, you know, it's part of the, you know, ecosystem of the insurance environment here, particularly in the U.S.
Yes.
And what, you know, what kind of advice would you give policymakers as they look at, you know, trying to thread this needle of, you hear them all talk, yeah, sure, we would like to see innovation and, you know, meet customer demands, but we don't want that, and we don't want this, and we don't want that technology, and, you know, that black box is scary, and, you know, how would you help them navigate that?
That's a great question. And at MIT, we see innovation ecosystems as having five stakeholders, and one of them is government. They need to be a partner at the table. But one of the lessons we tell government and policymakers and regulators is it's probably not the role that you thought you had last century. So you can't just sit back and regulate and try to take all the risk out of the situation, because things are moving too quickly. And so regulators need to lean into the ecosystem. They need to speak to the large corporates. They need to speak to the startups, and they need to discover how is insurance going to evolve. I teach this approach around the world, so I've seen this hitting insurance sectors around the world. I think one of the strengths of the United States is because its insurance is regulated at the state level, you have 50 laboratories to experiment. And so there are going to be opportunities where forward-leaning large incumbent insurance companies and responsible insurtechs and enlightened regulators can get together and say, within our state, you know, we have a real interest in the insurance sector continuing, because it adds such value to our societies and economies, that we need to innovate. So the regulators need to innovate with regulation. And there's a couple of ways of doing that, regulatory sandboxes and others. And so one of the benefits for the members of NAMIC is you can work with your state regulator. And some of them, hopefully among the 50, will be a little bit more enlightened and will run experiments that can then be shared with the others who are perhaps not willing to be forward-leaning. And I think there's going to be economic benefit for the states that innovate, just as there are going to be for those companies in states that they persuade to innovate with regulation.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been around here long enough to be a little skeptical of certain states and their willingness to embrace new things. But I do think at some point in time, I mean, a lot of this really is in response to what customers want.
Definitely.
Right? I mean, the way we buy the product, the way you interact with the company, you know, the customer demands are changing. And the companies really want to respond to it, but they run into this sort of barrier. And so I think this is going to be an interesting discussion with the regulatory community of trying to find ways to, as you say, enlighten them in terms of how they view these things, because it's not been the typical profile of the regulatory system of late. So
that's very diplomatic, Neil.
Yeah, very diplomatic. See, you're rubbing off on me. So let's talk a little bit about the mutual sector in particular. Mutual companies, you know, one of their inherent strengths is their ability, particularly as it relates to insurance, is to take kind of a long-term view of risk and to sort of weather, you know, storms like we're going through now in the industry. The past couple of years have been challenging, certainly for the industry on the property side in particular. But, you know, as it relates to innovation, those same companies get a little bit branded by the sleepy, you know, slow to change kind of attitude, right? And so talk a little bit about how you might see a mutual company in particular leverage the strength that they have in that long-term view as it relates to innovation.
Yeah, you're spot on, Neil. The benefit of the mutual sector is that it can take a longer term perspective, and that's what was required for innovation in insurance. This is not some sort of web-based search engine sector where they can go out and fail fast, and if one thing fails, somebody else can step in. No, you insurance companies are holding policies that underpin people's lives, livelihoods. We want you to be in business when you have to pay out on life insurance, for example, and I hope that's in a long way in the future. So actually, it's a strength of the mutual sector within insurance that you can take the longer term perspective. And there's nothing wrong with being slow and careful to change, but you need to change. In fact, I know from working a lot of enterprise risk management people in big companies, you know, you guys have amazing capabilities to think about risk. When it comes to innovation, one of the biggest risks is taking no risk. You can't stand still. You do need to change, even if it's slow and careful and regulated, because these things won't happen quickly, but customers are really important. They'll decide where to go. And, you know, Apple and Amazon and Google have spoilt us with our user experience. And so people want more and they want it more quickly. And so it is a time for change, but it's a time for careful innovation. And as I'll set out on the 24th, we differentiate between sort of small step, incremental, small I innovation, which is what we suggest for leaders within large organizations, especially insurance, and the kind of crazy disruptive innovation that the startups do out at the horizon. You know, large organizations can't be taking those sort of risks. Leave that to the startups, the insurtechs, but also learn from what they're doing so that when you do slowly change, you're moving in sensible directions, drawing intelligence from what you see happening in the wider insurance market.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think, you know, a lot of people probably don't think about innovation in a planful, you know, methodical kind of way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I think a lot of people sort of approach it with the mindset of, well, we need to stop this tomorrow and start that the next day. And we'll know when we're different now, right?
Yeah.
And I suspect part of your message that the audience will hear at management conference is that you don't have to do it. It's not that abrupt. It can be more methodical, and you're still doing the right things. And that's important, I think. I don't think most people think about it that way.
Yes, that's why innovation has become a bit of a buzzword for these sort of fast moving tech companies. And, you know, if their software crashes, well, that's, you know, boo-hoo. If something crashes in an insurance company, that's not a good sign. And so we need insurance to be responsible innovators. And they can take it. It's like changing the engines on an airplane. You know, we want you to stay in business. We want you to continue to underwrite. We want to continue to pay out when we need help. Mm-hmm. And so that's why insurance innovation is different from other sectors and needs to be respected as such. But there will be those who do better than others and attract more customers. And, you know, this will have consequences, which is why leaders taking strategic decisions now to commit to innovation, given that it is going to be slow moving, need to be making those small steps now, because they will compound over time and will, you know, come home to roost when we see who are the winners and the losers in the sector.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And that's just the way the market works, right? There's always people that are better at certain things than others,
sure,
and companies, enterprises. And that's, you know, to be expected for sure. But I do think that's a particularly relevant message for our industry and the way we typically approach problems, rather than a message that is, you know, you need to fundamentally stop being who you are and start doing something else. I think that's where a lot of our member companies sort of tune out of that message.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the danger with some of this buzzwordery around innovation. If it causes people to tune out and not take a strategic decision on innovation, then that's a bad thing. And innovation is different in each sector. It's different for banking than it is for defense and agriculture. And I think it's important to respect the insurance sector and the key role it plays in our lives. As I mentioned at the beginning, I'm a lapsed historian. it was amazing the role that insurance, when it was a crazy innovation around 1700, you know, how this came crashing into our societies. Mm-hmm. People were nervous about insurance. They didn't understand it. And yet it underpinned the economic prosperity of the Industrial Revolution. And, you know, insurance now doesn't need to be that crazy disruptive force. But we as societies and economies really need our friends in insurance to find a way to innovate authentically, keeping the best of the best, but leaning into new futures.
Yeah, well, that's an excellent message. Well, Phil, thanks for joining us today. I look forward to hearing your presentation.
Thank you. Are you going to be there on the 24th?
Then? I will be there, yeah. I look forward to it. I think the audience will look forward to it. It's a great group. We have a great crowd coming in Boston. And so for those of you that maybe you're listening that haven't registered yet, you should. And if you if you can't, you at least can hear Phil and learn a little bit about what his presentation will be about at our management conference coming up here in June. So, Phil, thanks for joining us today. Really enjoyed the conversation and look forward to hearing more when we get there.
You too, Neil. Thank you for making me so welcome. And you get a little bit of sense about why I get passionate about insurance being good in innovation.
Well, at least somebody is. That's a great thing. Thanks, Phil.
And that's all for this week's episode of Insurance Uncovered. We'll be back soon with more insurance news. Until next time, I'm Justin Hicks. Have a great day.